The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
You know the drill. It's just as simple as making the phone call. 314 area code. You can call us at 505-7850. Outside of that, in North America, 1-800-730-2727. It's Ask the Pastor. And this hour, we're joined by Reverend Dr. James Lamb, the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, as he fills in on this hour. And hi, it's Buzz Ulbrich filling in for Roland, filling in for Paul, and on the air with you this morning. Good morning, Dr. Lamb. Welcome to the airwaves.
Good morning. Just who am I filling in for now?
I think you're filling in for all the others who might have come in on a Friday, but you were there.
Okay.
But glad to have you along. It's a beautiful Friday here in St. Louis. How about up there? I'm assuming you're in Iowa today?
I am in Iowa, yes. Good old central Iowa. We have bright sunshine. We've had some really, really wonderful, perfect, I guess, fall days. The farmers are happy. Corn and beans are coming out. So everybody's pleased.
Does that also mean that the trees have been turning beautiful shades?
Yes. Yes, they are. And then falling down on my lawn. So
I think most of us here relate. We had a bit of a drought through a bit of August, heading on into September. I guess it really started at the tail end of July. We had a lot of wet weather earlier on, but we've had warm weather, and we're not sure what we're going to see as far as the colors. There's a couple of places here. Normally, we're just about this time when we see more color, but we're seeing leaves fall, and we're not seeing that much color yet.
Yes, pretty similar here. We've had kind of a dry spell here, and so some of the, like, we have two big maples out front, and they're not as bright as they were last year. But some of the trees in our little town are quite beautiful. I was up in Michigan a couple of days ago, and things were really beautiful up there.
You are the third person I've heard say that in the past several days.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people made it to Michigan that I've talked to lately.
Evidently.
Well, what's going on with you these days in Lutherans for Life?
Well, right now, the big thing here at Lutherans for Life is that we're getting our sample, our Life Sunday sample packs together. In fact, as I speak, volunteers are putting those together, almost done, and those are packs that contain samples of our Life Sunday bulletin insert and all of the materials that we'll be offering for Life Sunday 2012, which is kind of special this in 2012 because Life Sunday is the 22nd, the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, actually falls on a Sunday this year.
So let's see here. If I do my math, is that 38 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And we've lived in this country 38 years with that legal abortion.
Yes,
it's a tough world that we live in for people of all ages in that last 38 years. It's tough for those of us who appreciate life and would like to see the life issues in the forefront, but a lot of times they get pushed behind the other headlines.
Yes, they do. Even, you know, things are, as everybody knows, things are gearing up politically. You know, especially here in Iowa and all the debates going on about caucuses and primaries and everybody's moving them back. You know, we might have a primary in Iowa here in 2 days, you know, that's the way things are going. But it's the economy, you know, that's the big thing, the big issue, and, you know, the what they call the social issues that do get put in the background quite frequently. Of course, we don't refer to these issues as social issues around here. For us, they're spiritual issues, because when you attack life and devalue life, you're attacking and devaluing the author and redeemer and sanctifier of life. So that for us and for Christians, that should raise these issues way above the political foray that's going on.
Yeah, we talk about it as spiritual issues, life issues, and I guess in a sense for a lot of us it's a prayer issue, because we pray that the people that are faced with what they believe are choices in their lives make good decisions pleasing to God.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of prayer, you know, right now is a great time to be praying, because it's almost in the middle of the 40 Days for Life prayer campaigns that are going on across the country. I don't know if you're familiar with those.
Well, give us a little update.
It's just an initiative to have people come together all across the country and for 40 days to stand in front of abortion facilities in their area, Planned Parenthood facilities, and pray. It's a silent prayer vigil, and like up here in our area, it's Ames, Iowa. There's a Planned Parenthood facility over there, and so you fill in a slot. Like I'm going over tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock and take my hour standing in front of the facility there praying. And people are doing this. The goal is to have it, you know, somebody there around the clock. You know, don't always fill all those slots, but in Ames, we try to at least get the daytime hours when the facility is open. So it's a quiet, peaceful prayer vigil, and also gives a witness then to those who are walking by. And since this thing has begun about 7 years ago, I think the count is up to like way over 4,000 babies have been saved, because people have see the prayers, or sometimes come over and talk to them. And we have a little sign that we use that says, if you need help, come visit us. So it's a very non-confrontational kind of thing. And the Planned Parenthood facility that we're at, they've already cut their hours down because they know that when people are present there, folks that may have stopped in just keep on driving by. So it always cuts their business down. So they've already cut back their hours. So we're grateful for that. So that's going on, and people can, you know, check 40daysforlife.org. It's 40 is the number, 40, and see what's going on in your area. Or you can just simply add it to your prayer list and pray for the prayers that are standing out there.
It's one of those things where we refer to this fairly often on the air here on KFUO Radio. God puts you where you are, and there's a reason behind it. We may not understand why, but he puts things on our hearts and on our minds to do things like pray in front of a clinic like that.
Yes, and it has been very effective over the years, and encouraging to see a facility close down because people have been praying for that. And you know, we're encouraged not just to pray for those women who might be going there and their babies, but we pray also for those who work in there, because really, I tell people, they're not the enemy. Satan is the enemy, and he's duped so many people, because there are a lot of folks who work in Planned Parenthood facilities. I know that. I know some Christian Lutherans who work there, and they really think they're helping women. They really think they're doing God's will. So we need to be careful that we don't vilify them, but pray for them, that they would understand and see what is really going on, and that you're really not helping women by, you know, recommending that they kill their baby in order to solve the problems that they have. There are a lot better ways to deal with the struggles of an unintended pregnancy.
The discussion of abortion and talking with somebody often leads to the discussion of adoption, because many of these mothers will find that better suits what they feel inside spiritually, that God's called them, instead of to walk into that clinic to have that baby, but maybe they don't feel that they're equipped to be a parent. Maybe they're in a single parenting situation or an abusive relationship that can be solved by walking away but can't be ended, but they can find it within themselves to walk away for a period of time until the baby's born and give it up.
Well, that's ideal, of course. Unfortunately, adoption is not always, in fact, I think I can say it's hardly always the first thing they think of in an unplanned pregnancy. Sometimes it's the last thing. it's interesting that those facing that situation would oftentimes rather have the abortion actually than place for adoption. And the thinking goes, you know, I could never give my baby away. And I read an article by a psychologist, and he referred to it as the feeling that they have is kind of a double death. They're going to die themselves because they, for 9 months, they have to sacrifice and that kind of thing. And then their baby's going to be given away to somebody else, and they're not going to know where they are. And all these kinds of thoughts, whether they're true or not, come into their minds. So, unfortunately, adoption is not always one of the first things they think about. And that's why I think we in the church need to do a better job of laying out the positive aspects of adoption. Our whole conference this past summer, Lutherans for Life conference down in Texas, was focused on adoption. Our theme was Christ and adoption, and that we are all adopted by God in Christ. And so we can do a better job of, you know, helping couples or that pregnant teen make that choice, help her with finances, all kinds of things we can do to help people see adoption in a very positive light.
Individuals quite often will get into a conversation. I know I've had in my lifetime many friends who have been in a situation that would be tenuous, where they were in a relationship, as some of them were teenagers, some of them were older, and found themselves after a bad relationship. Their marriage broke up, they were pregnant. There's an awful lot that can go on, but we as individuals can help console and maybe even point them to the right counseling.
Yes, that is, you know, that's the advice I give to young people when I visit with young people, because, you know, you're going to tell a friend first, in most cases, before you tell your mom or dad or pastor or anybody else. You're going to confide in a friend. And so I tell young people, you know, the best thing you can do is to point them to people who can help. And there are wonderful people in pregnancy centers all across this country that will do everything that they possibly can to help these young women, provide for them. And pregnancy centers have parenting classes and money management classes, everything you could possibly think of to wrap our arms around them and share the love of Christ with them in very practical, down-to-earth ways. So yes, that's the best thing we can do. Is we're not always equipped to give the kind of counsel that these young women need, but there are people who are trained and able to do that, and we can get them there, point them there.
Well, this is Dr. James Lamb. He's Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, and it's Ask the Pastor. So if you'd like to call in and join the conversation in St. Louis, 505-7850. Outside of St. Louis, in North America, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. And yes, you can also email in studio, KFUO@KFUO.org. And we have a caller on the line, Dr. Lamb. I believe this is Wade, who has returned. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Buzz. Pastor Lamb, my question is for the lay people. Is there training for us to speak to the subject of abortion on a lay level, maybe not in the actual clinics that you would have or the ministries you have, but what about us? Is there seminars for us?
There's a couple of, one of the good places to go is, it's called Stand to Reason. It's a great website. You can just Google Stand to Reason. I think it's str.org. The initials. Yeah, there you go.
But what about, do you train the laity on like role playing and things like that, the typical things that come up when speaking to someone who's contemplating abortion?
Yeah, at Lutherans for Life, we do not offer anything like that at this point. We're, you know, more of a publication kind of, lots of Bible studies and brochures and pamphlets, but we don't have anything that offers that kind of training. We offer leadership training for our leaders in our chapters and Renewal for Life congregations and things like that.
Could you then explain what I could do or others listening today as far as you know of a young lady that's contemplating this and what's the best way to handle moving them to the next level with Lutherans for Life locally?
Well, yeah, I think the best way to handle that is, as we were just discussing here, I don't know if you were listening to the segment just prior to your call, but
yeah, I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, the best way to deal with that, if you know someone, if someone has confided in you, is to get them to people who can help them, and those are the pregnancy centers that we have all across this country. You offer your love, not condemnation, but your love, and let them know that there are people who really want to help them, people who want to help both them and their baby and help them do the right thing and make a decision that is best for both baby and mom. It's one of the best things you can say is you want to do what's best for you and what's best for your baby, and there are people who can help you do that, and I will drive you over to this center. That is absolutely the best thing you can do rather than trying to take it on yourself.
Okay, so that would be like the local pregnancy resource centers.
Yes, absolutely. And those are easy to find. Yellow Pages, they're right there first because they're listed under abortion alternatives. So for anybody who doesn't know where a center might be, that's an easy way to find them.
Now, did you ever have a chance to meet Melissa Oden, who lives up there, who survived that saline abortion from her mother?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Wade. And anybody else would like to come in? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. He brings up plenty of good points there, and the conversations that one may have with family members of someone who's going through this situation where they're contemplating what to do because they've found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy or in a situation that is somewhat similar to what stories we've heard in the past. It makes everybody not only think introspectively, but it unfortunately makes a lot of people nervous.
Oh, yes. You mean family members?
Yeah.
That are involved? Absolutely. And what so often happens is a teenage girl tells her parents, and unfortunately, oftentimes in Christian homes, while they don't want to deal with that embarrassment that their daughter was sexually active, and their first reaction too is to, well, we just want this problem to go away as quickly as we can. And oftentimes you will find the parents actually putting the pressure on their daughter to get an abortion. The boyfriend, the father of the child, oftentimes will supply that kind of pressure as well. So there's families can be supportive, but sometimes it doesn't work that way initially, and families need help too in seeing that there's a better way to deal with these things. And even though abortion seems like a quick and easy answer, it is not, and it is something that once you make that decision, you will deal with it the rest of your lives. The young gal who has it, parents who pressured her to have it, the father who pressured, they will all eventually deal with the guilt and regret that comes from that decision. So, yes, we need to be, whenever we can, if we have opportunity, talking to family members as well and let them know that, the body of Christ is not going to ostracize them, but gather around them and help them and support them.
Well, you mentioned Roe v. Wade coming up on that 38th anniversary. I was on Earth before that passed, so my immediate generation had the chance to, as so many of the, pro-abortion people would say, have the choice. When I was in high school, one day, this is a very specific situation, but one that I talk about occasionally when discussing life issues. A girl in my class that I hardly knew, I passed a note to her one day because I noticed she was unusually sad. She was not one who would be talkative. She wasn't one to be sad. But I could see it, and then you didn't pass notes in this class. You got in trouble. I passed a note, and I said, is everything okay? And the next thing I know, she said no, and I pressed it. And before the end of the hour, we'd had a conversation through notes in a class where you don't pass notes, and she admitted that she was newly found out that she was pregnant, that she'd had a discussion with her boyfriend, and he wasn't really sure what to do, and she wasn't sure what to do. She was approaching her 17th birthday and didn't know how her family was going to react. And we talked in between classes afterward, and we exchanged phone numbers and talked that evening. And she had admitted that it was such a difficult issue that she had been contemplating suicide. I'm very blessed to say that later she had her daughter, graduated high school, and that little girl is 28 years old, so she's not a little girl anymore.
Sure.
And when I think about that one moment in time, just having one conversation with someone who's going through that, that's when groups like Lutherans for Life mean an awful lot to me, because I know somewhere after the conversation that she and I had, she went and found somebody who could talk about these issues in a better way than me, another teenager, could do.
That's a great story, Buzz, and God be praised for that. And
absolutely, because it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. It was something that she heard through God, and by God's grace, that turned out to be a good story.
Yeah. And see, that's what we can do. We don't have to, you know everything there is to know about how to talk to these young women. It's just common sense. We listen. We're not judgmental. We offer all the support we possibly can, and it just goes a long way, when they realize there's someone here who's not going to judge them and condemn them, but listen to them, and they really do want to help. So, and then as you did. And as we've been suggesting, you get them to folks who do this day after day after day.
I wish I had more friends that related in stories like that. I know that in talking with some friends from high school, others that had friends at different high schools where there was a pregnancy involved, and this is just the specific teenage years back then, not so many people reached out and said, well, can I help?
Yes.
It's as simple as that sometimes. In essence, you pray over whether you think you can help the person. Those are very short moments when you make that decision, in a sense. Can I pray over this and really get involved? Will God give this to me, this moment, to say the right thing? He's, in essence, going to tell us somehow in the prayer how to handle things, I suppose.
Well, yes, we rely on God to work through us, and in spite of us, sometimes we pray that a lot here at Lutherans for Life. You know, just work in spite of us, and in His grace, He certainly does that.
Well, we've got plenty of other things we can discuss, not just Lutherans for Life, but even within Lutherans for Life, different aspects of what you do, and life issues are always at the forefront here on KFUO Radio, and we like to bring them in front of anybody that thinks about abortion or adoption or creation or even the later stages of life. Anyone who'd like to join in the conversation with Dr. Jim Lamb, go ahead, pick up the phone, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's the Ask the Pastor segment of the Bible study. And we'll be back with Dr. Lamb after this.
Servanthood is a core value of Concordia Seminary. To be a servant is alien to so many people in our society. Even some clergy take on authoritarian airs. But Jesus, Son of God and Lord of all, came as a servant. We want Concordia graduates to model servanthood to their congregations and to their communities. Servanthood, that's the Christian way.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice. Or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit with our live worship broadcast on KFUO Radio. Our early broadcast begins at 8 o'clock from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, where Reverend Matthew Roglin is pastor. Our live late service is at 10:45 from Timothy Lutheran in South St. Louis, where Reverend Ron Rawl is pastor. Join us for live Sunday morning worship on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Paul Clayton for Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky, inviting you to listen to Wrestling with the Basics, Saturday mornings at 9:05 on AM 850 KFUO. We take a conversational and rather casual approach to Bible study on Wrestling with the Basics. And if you missed the program, remember you can catch it on demand on our website at www.kfuo.org. Wrestling with the Basics with Pastor Jolly John Lukomsky on AM 850 KFUO.
Rights and Wrongs. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The House has passed legislation that strengthens conscience protections for anti-abortion health care providers. Republicans quoted Bible passages on life in the womb.
You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
And defending the voiceless.
The instructions given to leaders thousands of years ago in Proverbs 31. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
While Democrats said the bill would allow
hospitals to refuse life-saving treatment to women on religious or moral grounds.
Supporters countered that even Catholic hospitals allow doctors to perform necessary procedures that could abort a pregnancy. The bill also prohibits insurance plans regulated under the new health care law from covering abortion if their customers receive federal subsidies. The legislation passed the House easily, but is unlikely to be considered by the Senate, and it faces a veto threat from President Barack Obama. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A bizarre and twisted abortion mill in Rockford, Illinois has been shut down. The Department of Health suspended its license after giving the mill a 3-page report of safety and health violations. Wayne Webster, the abortion mill owner, has exhibited outlandish and dangerous behavior. With pro-lifers present in front of the mill, he's charged outside with a running chainsaw. He's also been photographed wearing a devil's costumes. Signs in the windows have been vulgar. One depicted Jesus with his middle fingers in the air. Health officials felt the abortion mill directly threatened the health, safety, and welfare of women, requiring emergency action. Intervention like this normally indicates horrific back-alley conditions. Praise God, this dangerous mill was shut down.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hi, this is Pastor Matt Harrison, President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Please join me on Sunday, October 23rd, for the KFUO Founders Dinner to celebrate and support the ministry of KFUO Radio. If you would like more information about the dinner with Congressman John Shimkus and myself, please call 314-505-7874. That's 314-505-7874.
As we continue with the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study, Reverend Dr. James Lamb, the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, is our guest, and you can call in to talk about some life issues or some other things theological that might be weighing on you this morning. Well, Dr. Lamb, we were talking about so many things towards the beginning of life that it seems like we have the polar opposite come up an awful lot these days. There's discussion lately of maybe some good news in the medical field where gene research shows that there are links to Alzheimer's disease that people are finding out about here in St. Louis and Washington University. They had a long-term research study that may be helping some people down the road. But it's down the road, and some people are facing this end-of-life issue now.
Yes, I speak on any number of life issues, you know, everything from stem cell research, abortion, chastity and purity for young people, but it's been the end of life that I've been asked to speak on quite frequently here lately because it is a great concern. You know, we baby boomers are coming through the system, and more and more we're going to be dealing with people put in difficult situations about continuing treatment or starting treatment, and unfortunately it's going to be related to economy and what people can afford, and we're just going to have to really ground ourselves solidly in what God says about the value of life and the decisions that we make. So yes, it's a huge issue, and we offer a lot of resources to help people make decisions. We have a pamphlet, for example, called Ventilators, Feeding Tubes, and Other End-of-Life Issues. That's very popular because that's what we think of right away when we think of end-of-life issues. We think of that respirator, that ventilator, that feeding tube. And this helps people deal with those and from a biblical perspective. And another one we have is called the Basics of Advanced Directives. The Basics of Advanced Directives, just a real simple little brochure that helps people understand the difference between a living will, for example, and a durable power of attorney for health care. So people are asking those kind of questions. Should I have a living will, Pastor? You know, people are asking these kinds of questions. And we need to help people understand the perspective that we have as Christians. And I think, you know, a great place for that is in Philippians. You know, Paul talks about that he desires to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. People quote that verse a lot, and it's absolutely true, and we can join Paul in that. It would be far better for any of us to be with Christ, obviously. And sometimes we use that, though, as almost an excuse to, well, it's okay then to maybe hurry grandma along a little bit here, or, you know, increase that morphine drip. But we've got to read the next verse where Paul says, but it is more necessary that I remain on in the flesh for your sakes. So there's that tension I think we live in. There's the desire to depart and be with Christ, the far better part, but then there's the more necessary part. And the key here is that God determines the more necessary. And God can give meaning and purpose and work in the lives of people who are up and running around and vocal, but he can also do the very same thing in someone who's lying unconscious in a nursing home bed, because our purpose, our meaning, our value doesn't come from us and who we are. It comes from whose we are. And we belong to God. Well, I'm really rambling here, but end-of-life issues are really in the forefront of a lot of people's minds these days.
Yeah, yes, they are. Dr. Lamb, we've got a couple of calls here, at least one right now. We've got Herman on the line, and Herman, go ahead. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I agree with Dr. Lamb there that, first of all, we need to go to what Paul points to on the matter, as you've quoted, regarding being with Jesus Christ, and that he can grant us time to be here on earth for his purpose. But there is also the eternal assembly of saints and souls before Christ now, awaiting his return in glory, and that we are connected with him as his church now, and that he has the ultimate and one true future. At the same time, it's kind of ironic when just in the break time we had some an update on abortion matters in the news, and you look at the thing now, and it's ironic when the pro-abortion forces talk about, well, it's for women's health, yet you look in reality, these abortion mills are anything but healthy. in terms of medical procedure, emotional impact, and other things. And I would even contend the increased awareness about breast cancer is an outcome of the frequency of abortion since Roe versus Wade that is now increasing there's an increased percentage of it coming in as a health problem for these cumulative years now, and that may be raising the amount of breast cancer issues.
Yes, well stated. Yeah, I think you summarized Paul's point there much more eloquently than I did. And then also the whole idea that we think we're helping women by pushing them towards these abortion mills is simply false, because as you were saying, Herman, there's emotional and physical and spiritual damage done. And, you know, during this October Breast Cancer Awareness Month, it's one of the things we should be talking about, is that link between abortion and the increased risk of breast cancer, and more studies are pointing to that.
So, yes, apparently they're saying, especially for a young woman, to have a first pregnancy terminated by abortion interrupts the resetting of her hormonal balance, and
yes,
that is a detriment to that. It's a high cancer; it increases the cancer risk.
Yes, exactly, especially in that situation that you just described.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lane.
Thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Comment.
Yeah, thank you, Herman. And we also have now Bill is on the line. Good morning. You're on Ask the Pastor with Dr. Jim Lamb.
Yes, Pastor Lamb. I don't know if it's a good idea to point fingers at any particular organization or organizations, but I was just wondering, I don't know exactly what I've heard. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but we have this Susan B. Anthony, Susan B. Coleman, or Susan Coleman organization here, very active in the Missouri area. Well, and I think they're all over the United States, but here in the St. Louis area, we have even these races for cancer, or runs for cancer. And I was just wondering, I heard somewhere that they had given some money to Planned Parenthood or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if you can actually name names without getting yourself into trouble. And then I've also heard that groups like United Fund or something like that have given money to Planned Parenthood, things like that. I don't know. Is there, is there, I know there should be some guidelines people want to give to help for the cure cancer and things like that. But is there any way a person could really definitely know when they give to these organizations what these organizations are actually doing with the money that they are given? I'll hang up and listen to what you have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Yes, unfortunately, it is true that the Susan G. Komen Foundation, which is huge, and people are getting involved in these walks all the time. But they do give a portion of the funds that they raise to Planned Parenthood. It's right now around $731,000, and you can find these figures at the Susan G. Coleman site. And that was in 2009, the latest figure that I have here. And what they do is they have all these chapters that sponsor these races or these walks in various areas of the country, and not all of them give directly to a Planned Parenthood in their area. However, 25% of everything they raise must go back to the national organization, and we do know that the national organization gives to Planned Parenthood. Now, they will tell you, and this is true, they earmark that money for preventative measures like breast exams and mammograms and so forth, and they tell Planned Parenthood this is what you must use it for. However, that just frees up then other funds to be used for abortion. So I know it's a touchy subject, and you know, everybody knows someone who has dealt with breast cancer, but these are simply the facts, and people need to be aware that yes, a portion of those funds does go to do go to Planned Parenthood.
Having taken the moment to take a look at the Susan G. Komen website, it's not always easy to find out where things go, although they do put on their website where they have grants that are given.
Yeah.
But it's been found many a time that where some of the money goes isn't always where maybe we think it goes.
Yes.
And it's not just that organization, but other organizations as well. And, you know, we've been listening into the news this week. There's a certain amount of people that have been pushing legislature, the national Congress, to stop the funding for abortion. And we know that's been in the news that just the last couple of days.
Yes. That and many, some states have actually withdrawn funding from Planned Parenthood in their state, and then those have been challenged, and some state Supreme Courts have upheld those rulings and some have not. So it's setting the stage for a showdown in the United States Supreme Court probably next summer is what I've been reading.
Well, now, while we're discussing this, we do have Life Sunday coming up, and what's the theme this year?
Our theme that we're promoting at Lutherans for Life is Trust God, Choose Life, and that's based on Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And, you know, this word choice is used frequently, and to be pro-choice, of course, we know that means to be pro-abortion. And our materials, it's an effort to help people understand that choice is a word the Bible uses, and we're called upon to choose life. However, our choice, it differs greatly. Our view of what choice is differs greatly from the world view of that. The world chooses based on what they want. We base our choices upon the fact that we're chosen by God in Jesus Christ. And as chosen people, we are called first and foremost to trust God and His will as we make our choices. And that's the context of this verse in Deuteronomy. Moses points out to the people that they are first and foremost, they've been chosen by God. You know, they didn't do anything to get chosen. In fact, we know their shenanigans and worship of other gods and all the problems that they had back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, Deuteronomy earlier on says, you know, God didn't choose you because you were so great or bigger or more powerful. He chose you because He loved you. He placed His love on you, it says. And that's what makes them special. And it's because of that, it's because of who they are, chosen by God, that they now make choices based upon His will for their lives. So it's a gospel kind of motivated focus. It's not choose life because the Bible says you shall not murder. It's choose life because God has chosen you in Christ, and you can trust Him. You can trust Him. If He loves you enough to send His Son to die for you, you can trust that He is going to be with you in the choices and the decisions you make in your life. So that's the focus of that. And we have the usual things, you know, the bulletin insert and Bible studies and sample sermons, children's messages, worship services, all those kinds of things that people like to have and use on a Life Sunday. And I also want to point out that Life Sunday, even though it's, you know, January 22nd in 2012, our materials can be used really any time during the year. So just encouraging people to go to our website. Everything is posted there, and our sample pack will be coming out soon.
Well, just for the moment, going back to the Congress having brought up the legislation which would strengthen the protections for the health care providers that are going to help someone who's making a conscientious decision to seek the help and ask the right questions. We had a religion roundup earlier, but a piece from that religion roundup from Steve Coleman of the Associated Press involved some of the legislators. Would you like to hear about a half a minute of that? And
sure.
Okay, let's play that. Here's Steve Coleman with some of the U.S. House members.
Republicans quoted Bible passages on pregnancy.
You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
And defending the voiceless.
The instructions given to leaders thousands of years ago in Proverbs 31. Speak for those who cannot speak for themselves.
While Democrats said the bill would allow
hospitals to refuse life-saving treatment to women on religious or moral grounds.
The legislation passed the House easily, but is unlikely to be considered by the Senate, and it faces a veto threat from President Barack Obama. I'm Steve Coleman.
Well, you can clearly hear a divide.
Yes. Yes. That it's great to hear the scripture quoted there on the House floor.
And I'll tell you right now, the members that they had on there, that was Vicki Hartzler from Missouri, James Lankford from Oklahoma, and then the Democrat was Diana Duquette from Colorado. So those are the people who, Vicki Hartzler and James Lankford, were quoting scripture on the floor at the U.S. House.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and it was also pointed out there in that little spot, too, it's unlikely to pass the Senate. In fact, it's unlikely even to come to the floor of the Senate. But nevertheless, it has gotten some media attention and has placed this issue before the people, and the more we can do that, the better off we are.
Well, when you have this going into Congress like this, even if it's just the House and not the Senate, it does get play into the Associated Press and across the nation on a morning like today. And there's, like we said, there's people that say this is what we need to do, and there's people that say this is not what we need to do. People argue one way or the other, I suppose, that God may or may not take a position on these life issues. But does he?
God definitely has a position on the life issues. You know, my favorite verse to quote on all of this is Luke 1:31, where the angel said to Mary, "You will conceive in your womb and then bear a son." To know that we have a Savior who started as a one-celled human being in a fallopian tube of Mary and passed through all the stages of our development for us, to me, more than anything else in the Scripture, gives value to human life from that very moment. I mean, Scripture says we needed a Savior then because our conception was unclean and sinful because of our human nature, and our Savior started right there where we did. So He loves life from its very beginning, and he proved that by assuming humanity into the Godhead at that very moment. It was, to me, that's just an incredible statement.
Yeah, you bring up that Luke 1, and it's not just when the angel is saying to Mary that she's about to bear Jesus, but that Elizabeth, who was barren, is already pregnant, and these are two people that, for those of us who are Christians, key figures in learning this is how we are now saved through this historical event.
Yes, it was an incredible meeting between these two women, too, you know, that Mary goes to Elizabeth's house right after the conception of Jesus, and I wouldn't have taken her more than 10 days to get to Elizabeth. And, you know, Jesus is just this little dot probably beginning to implant in her uterine wall. And Elizabeth, you know, refers to him as her Lord. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And that word there, it's a counterpart of the Old Testament word for the name of God, Yahweh. You know, it should give us all chills to think that the Lord of the universe loved us so much that he became this little dot in Mary's womb and is recognized by Elizabeth and also by John the Baptist, who is 6 months old in Elizabeth's womb. He leaps you know, moved by the Holy Spirit. Both of them are moved by the Holy Spirit to do these things. So God can and does work through his Spirit, even with those in the womb. So this just tremendous value that these early stories of Jesus' life gives to all of human life. So I'd like to start with a second article, not the Fifth Commandment, when it comes to the life issues. The Fifth Commandment has its place, that we shall not murder, but because that's what abortion is. But I think we need to start with this great love that our God has for life, because he created it, as was quoted there on the house floor from Psalm 139, and he's redeemed it from the very beginning of conception. And he desires then to call every human being into this eternal relationship with him in the waters of baptism through the power of his holy word.
It often goes that we don't go much farther into that. If we're talking about the Sunday services, we might get as far as the birth of John the Baptist sometimes in Luke, and then oftentimes, and this is my own personal view of how this happens, sometimes we get through that and all of a sudden we aren't paying attention to what's next in Luke. We just maybe haven't gone any deeper, and we find ourselves not looking to the rest of the story. He and John are there, and it progresses for me, now that I've looked at the Bible more as I've grown older, into the prophecies that were coming along and telling us that the Lord was about to be born. People point to the story in Luke, but I wonder so much, do we look back? Because so often, and we rightly should be focusing on the cross and the death and resurrection for our being saved, but we don't look at that early part. But maybe when we come to Christmas.
Right. That Luke 1:31, Mary, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. We read that at Christmas time, and that's okay. But there are two events in that verse, they're 9 months apart. You will conceive in your womb. That's the first event that takes place. And when I do presentations, I love to ask folks. We talk about how God created life, and then he loved this life that he created so much, he sent his son Jesus to redeem us. And so I ask people, so when did that happen? When did God send his son into this world to redeem us? And what do you think is the answer I get most of the time? Christmas. Because we don't think the fact that, no, he was here 9 months before Christmas. In fact, I love to say this, and I always step back a little bit because I don't know if they'll throw Lutheran hymnals at me or not, but I say there's nothing miraculous about Christmas. Jesus was born just like you and I were born, like every human being is born. You know, there was pain and cramming and blood, and it was all there. The miracle happened 9 months before at his conception. That's when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, you had Mary's egg there, no male involved, no sperm involved, and all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary, and there's Jesus, our Savior. That's the incarnation.
I guess it's a lovely way for us to close out the hour, except to say that Dr. Jim Lamb, the Executive Director of Lutherans for Life, you can be visited where online?
We're at lutheransforlife, all typed out in small letters, .org, lutheransforlife.org.
Thank you for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
And that's the Ask the Pastor portion of the Bible study this morning. More next Monday on KFUO Radio.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.